Page 820 for Parshas Korach. Are you all finished benching? You want me to wait?
I'm okay.
You're okay. Just want me to wait. I'll wait one second.
Okay.
So, recently, as you all know, I went away to the Rabbinical Council of America convention, where we talk about issues that confront rabbis, because that's what rabbis do at rabbinical conventions. We talk a lot. We talk a lot even not at conventions. It's not a problem. So one of the topics, one of the discussions, featured a rabbi I respect very greatly. His name is Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter. And his wife, who's a therapist, who's a licensed therapist, her name is Adina Schachter. Adina, I think. And they spoke about the difficult congregant. What do you do when you're confronted with someone who is difficult, who's problematic? And, we're all, I'm sure, conjuring up in our own minds who you think that person is. But how do you handle that? What do you do when somebody attacks the rabbi personally? Because you are the representative of the shul, and to be honest with you, you're the easiest target. So we talked about it.
Exactly. What would be a difficult conversation?
No.
Oh, you know. I do.
Thank God it hasn't been so prevalent in our school, but we all know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, I am. Well, why? Maybe luck has nothing to do with it. Or something to do with it. No, it's not. A little bit. What? You don't know what I'm talking about? I don't think of individuals, but very often people make problems because of, the rabbi didn't say hello to me, the rabbi didn't bother me, the rabbi bothered me, the rabbi didn't call me, the rabbi did call me, I was in the hospital. My favorite is, rabbi, I was in the hospital, how come you didn't come see me?
Nobody.
Well, did you tell me?
Did somebody know?
Well, I told so-and-so who told so-and-so, and I'm sure you heard, I once got that. I was in Connecticut once, and a guy came up to me and said, rabbi, my brother-in-law was in the hospital for 8 days, he had pneumonia, and you didn't come see him. I said, did you tell me? He said, don't you remember on Chol HaMoed Pesach, I came up and Mishnah Nina Mishnah Berach? That was for him.
Wait, excuse me?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was Yanko Ben Shengel, and that was him.
There are shows that have someone that they come to and give this.
No, we had to train them. They had not had a rabbi. We had to train them to call. Give them to tell. I want to know. Anyway, okay, so how do you handle that? So one of the rabbis, who I respect very much, he said, a younger fellow, he said, not younger than me, but younger than many of you, he said that he doesn't have a problem with situations like that, because he's always able to externalize it. When a person comes to the rabbi and says, how can you do this and how can you do that, he's always able to think to himself, what is your problem? Meaning, a person doesn't attack the rabbi because they have a problem with the rabbi. That's not a normal thing to do. A person attacks the rabbi because he's having problems. I mean, if a person had a legitimate problem with the rabbi, if you really had a problem with something that I did or something that I said, what would be the normal, legitimate course of action?
I would ignore
it. No, I don't think ignore it. I disagree with ignore it.
You would call him up.
You call him up, and this has happened. Make an appointment. I need to talk to you about this issue. This came up, and I want to discuss it with you. That's normal. Anytime you see someone publicly criticizing or attacking, anytime, you immediately know it's not about me. It's not about me, it's about you. Now, I admire this rabbi because, to be honest with you, it's not easy to do. That's very hard to do. And when you live in the public eye, your husband is not a rabbi, right? He's in the public eye. And, for some reason, we're going to talk about this today.
But he never gave me an
Oliya. And there you go.
No matter how much you pay.
Right.
The rabbi and them.
But that's what it is. He didn't give me an Aliyah. There's only 200 other people, and he gave you Aliyah 3 weeks ago. Right. Yeah, but he gave me Ravi, and everybody knows that that's the worst Aliyah.
It's just
not an honor with an honor.
You know something? We're going to talk about it. When it comes to kavod, everybody's wrote it. Everybody runs after the wrong kavod. Everybody does. And that's human nature. So, but when you see somebody behaving in that way, you have to ask yourself, what's the real issue? What's really going on? And sometimes it's very apparent, and it's not even apparent to that person.
No.
Sometimes everyone else can see it, or you can see it, and you can know what's really going on, but they can't see it. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, it's your job to try to help them, well, when possible, when realistic, to try to help them see through that and allow them to deal with the issues that are at hand. You know, and that's not, it's not the Gabbai's job, and it's not the president's job, but they have to have a very thick skin. Because people are people. So we're going to talk about these ideas, this attack, and we're going to talk about it extensively. Well, however long the sentence number we have. Page 820. Vayikach Korach, ben Yitzhar, ben Kehas, ben Levi, v'dasam v'aviram, b'nei Eliyav, v'om ben Peles, b'nei Reuven. We've discussed this pasuk before, we've started this pasuk before. It's always good to note. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kehas, the son of Levi, separated himself with Dasan and Aviram, sons of Eliab, and Own of Pelet, this offspring of Reuven. Okay? How does Art School mistranslate this pasuk?
Mistranslate?
Mistranslate. It is not an accurate translation.
Oh. I don't understand you.
Read the Hebrew.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
Read the Hebrew. Separated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Am I speaking too quickly?
No idea, and you speak so fast. It doesn't even go in. It's my ears.
So see, Mrs. Roberg is doing. She's saying it's not me. It's her.
It's both of us.
Okay, I will make a concerted effort to slow down.
Thank you. Thank you. It's
what is the mistranslation in the pasuk? Vayikach Korach means what? What does Vayikach Korach mean? Good. Now translate the pasuk for me, please, Mrs. Roberg. Right.
Oh, then this one actually is a better translation.
I'll translate it for you. And Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Levi, and Datan and Tuk, and Datan and Aviram, the sons of Eliab, and On ben Pelet, the sons of Reuven. What's the problem?
What did they say?
What did they say? Right, what's the object? There's a subject, but there's no object. What did he take?
Here it's translated as men.
This is called Yuchas.
What?
This is the whole...
It's very nice, and Yuchas is lovely. What did he take?
Men.
Correct. Right, so who are we going to turn to? What?
Rashi.
Together.
Rashi? First of all, yes.
Could it be the separated, would it be the Vayikach as a translation in order to revert the words and come up to the same?
Oh, clearly. Absolutely. She's saying that Vayikach must mean he's separated.
Right.
All I'm trying to point out is that that's not what it means literally. You have to understand that it's interpretation. Whose interpretation does Art School usually follow? Rashi, look at Rashi. First Rashi says, Vayikach Korach, and Korach took. Parasha zu yafeh nidreshet b'midrash Rabbi Tanchuma. So if you want to look at a good midrashim, good look at the midrash Rabbi Tanchuma, beautiful. What did Korach take? So what does Rashi say? Vayikach Korach, lakach et atzmo l'tzad echad. Which side?
The dark side.
There we go. Right, that's exactly what it is. He took himself over to the south. So that's what it means. Why does Art School translate it? He separated himself. Because Art School has to flow. The English has to flow. How does Hirsch translate it?
Now, Korach, the son of the son, took men. That's the way they end.
Took
men.
Men. The men are not there. You understand what I'm saying? So let me see. Hold on. I'm going to find you some of those fun midrashim.
Now, Korach took the... In the Hebrew text, took is not followed by an object. Most versions follow Ibn Ezra and supply the word men.
Good. Okay. Vayikach Korach says the midrash. I'll read you two of them. Ein vayikach ela lashon pliga. Vayikach refers to the language of flag, of discord, of argument. Shalibo lekacho, his heart took him. Next midrash. Ein vayikach ela meshichat dvarim rachim, through soft speech. What did Korach take? He used his power of articulation in order to draw. And who did he draw? Shemashach kol gedola Yisrael v'hasanhedraos acharav. Who did he have? Think about this. It wasn't Korach. I mean, people envision this person, Korach, as this, you know, if I were to ask you to draw me a picture of Korach or pick him out in a lineup, in your own mind, who do you have?
A powerful person.
Well, what does he look like?
Like everybody else, I think so.
Tall, good looking.
Big.
Charismatic.
Yeah. Charlton Heston. Charlton
Heston.
That's Moses. That's not there. In our minds, we paint Korach as the villain. So he's got the, you know, Riley Fingers mustache. He's got, you know, he's got the beady eyes. Korach looked like, you know, Rav Shach.
He was an upstanding, religious man.
He was, yeah. Who did he pull after him? The Midrash says, Kol Gedolei Yisrael v'Hasanhedraos. So imagine if today Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, and the Aguda, the Mo'etes Gedolei HaTorah of the Agudas Yisrael said, came out with an edict, putting Moshe Rabbeinu in Aaron.
Oy.
And says, what right does he have to keep us out of Eretz Yisrael? Who does he think he is? So it's not just this rabble rouser, says the Midrash. Who did he draw after him? He had a following, a powerful following. That's what the Midrash in Kuma says. So you think it's so simple? You think it's so easy? Not so simple. Vayakum lifnei Moshe va'anashim libnei Yisrael chamishim u'masayim. They stood up before Moshe with 250 people from the children of Israel. Nishiei Eidah, princes of the community. Kriyei Moed, leaders of the assembly. Leaders, they're not talking about, you know, zlobs who don't have any yichas. Anshei Shem, what are Anshei Shem?
People with a name.
People of substance. Okay?
Gentle.
Right. So, okay, you're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, but imagine, you know, think about the five biggest, Rabbi Fox and Rabbi Iron, they all got up and said, what's going on here? It's got to stop. Vayikalu al Moshe v'yal Aaron, they gathered up against Moshe and Aaron. Vayamur alayhem rav lachem, they said to them, you have too much. Kikol ha'idah kulam kedoshim u'v'sholcham Hashem. Hey, you said we're all holy, kedoshim to you, everybody's got to be holy. And you said a first baruch who's in our midst. U'madu atishnas'u al kahal Yisrael. Why should you be only you be the Nishim for Kahal Yisrael? Now, I personally believe, I think I've talked about this before, that clearly, what is the clear agenda? What's going on here? What motivates this whole story?
Jealousy.
Before
power.
Jealousy.
Power.
Yeah.
You
want
power.
He was a Kohen and he wanted to be one of the heads too.
Yeah.
He had something to do.
How come he shows up now?
Yes, it's the right place. The
order. They haven't seen for like a week or two.
They're like little children. I've got nothing to do. So what do you know? Why does he come up now?
An overestimation of himself.
Why now? Last parsha, they learned that instead of going into Eretz Yisrael like they had been promised, all of a sudden they finally did something to bring God over the edge.
That's it.
What? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you're going to die in the desert. Now, it's interesting. We know something they don't know.
No, that Moshe's going
to... We know, first of all, we know, A, that Moshe himself isn't going to make it. We know two things then. What do we also know? How many times have they been at the brink where God wants to wipe us out and Moshe Rabbeinu pulls us back? Three times, four times, you know. Right, and who sticks his neck out to save them? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who doesn't know this? They don't know this. Why? Because, you know, we're not privy to the conversations of Moshe and God. So imagine Moshe. Here, you know, here he is. He sticks his neck out time and time again to literally save them from utter annihilation. And what do? They slap him in the face. Now they don't fetch.
No.
Fetching would be fine. They say to him, why do we need you?
We're all holy.
And you know what he wants to say? Tell you what, why don't I step back for a minute and see how you do in your room? You know, it's unbelievable. But what motivates it? Clearly to me, the way I understand the Chumash, what clearly motivates this is a sense of desperation. A sense of chaos. What do you do? Well, Rosh Rabbeinu just told them, you know what? God is so angry and I couldn't do anything about it that you're all going to die in the desert. They don't want to die in the desert. What other option do you have? What's left to you? What avenues are left to you? There's nothing you can do. Well, Moshe, we want to do tshuva. That's very nice. You're still going to die in the desert. Now what? Because Baruch Hu said no. You know what they said?
If you don't like your answer, we're going to go find a new leader. If mommy says no, then we're going to go ask daddy.
Correct.
That's exactly what it is.
Correct. Daddy says no, he's going to believe it.
It's unclear. It doesn't seem this way because of the language they use, but it's unclear whether the rejection of Moshe is also a rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Because on the surface it doesn't sound.
On the surface, of course not. Because you don't get all the Nishiei God by rejecting God. But that's unclear. And there are overtones of that as well. Plus, Dalid, Vayishma Moshe, Vayipol al Panav. Moshe literally falls on his face. Well, Moshe was an anav, right? Isn't it interesting? I saw outside of Rav Mendel of Kutsk, I think. He says, Rav Mendel of Kutsk says, it's so interesting that when people attack Gedolim, they attack them for precisely the thing that's the opposite of who they are. Right? When you attack somebody great, they're dumb enough to attack them in a way that's exactly the opposite of what they are. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the biggest anav in the world. You could accuse him of a lot of things. He's too machmir on us. Maybe he doesn't push hard enough for us and with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could complain about that. I'm sure there's plenty of things to complain about with leaders. But the one thing you can't complain about is he's in it for himself. Because with Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no himself. He couldn't be in it for himself because there was no himself. There's nothing to argue about. How come you get to be the leader? You took everything for yourself. That's like a Rashi, right? You fall upon him. Why does Moshe fall on his face?
Disgust.
Why would you fall on your face? Any number of reasons. There are a few reasons.
According to this, it says he fell on his face in prayer.
In prayer.
Black
eyes.
Black eyes. I'm praying. Forgive me.
Forgive me?
Because he was such an honor.
Forgive me?
That they accused him of things that he wasn't even guilty of.
Moshe Rabbeinu had that gift of externalizing.
Yeah.
Usually. Let's see what happens. Okay?
He
can't believe what he's saying? Yeah, speak a little louder, please.
He was attacked, so he was humiliated, and desperation.
It seems like a gut reaction. Vayishma Moshe, vayipo apanav. Just.
I can't take it anymore.
Doesn't want anyone to shoot. Nothing is as long as his, and I can't do anything about it.
Dalid, Rashi, look at Rashi, Dalid. Vayipo apanav. See in the second column? Vayipo apanav. Why did he fall on his face? Because of the argument. But what does that mean? Then it doesn't. Therefore, but why? What caused him to fall on his face? The machloket caused him.
Doesn't want to look at you. Doesn't want to face.
Exasperation, desperation. I can't believe.
Enough already.
Yeah. Shekvar zeh biyadam sirchon revi'i. This is the fourth time. One of the three times. Chatu ba'egel vayechal Moshe. Right, the sin of the egel, golden calf, pretty bad. Moshe gets involved. They were complainers. Moshe davened for them. The spies. Moshe Hashem b'shimu mitzayim. The machlakato shel Moshe shel Korach nitrashlu yadav. Threw up his hands. What else am I supposed to do? He gave up. Back to the Chumash. Pasuk Dalid. Hey. Vayidaber el Korach ve'el kol adasol le'mor. So he said to Korach and all his merry little band the following. Boker, in the morning, the Yoda Hashem es asher lo, the es hakadosh that he created love. Okay, you're so holy, you're so high and mighty. In the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell you who's going to be in charge. The Eish Asher Yivchar Bo Yakriv Eilav. And the one that he will check, Yakriv Eilav, he will bring close to him. Zos Asu. This is the following. Kechulachem Machtosh Korach V'chol Adasa. You guys all take frying pans. Utnu Behem Eish. And put in them fire. V'shimu Behem Alehem Ketorah Sifte Hashem Vachar. And tomorrow you should place upon them ketores, incense, v'haya ha'is asher yivchar Hashem, hu ha'kadosh, whoever God chooses, he will be holy, rav b'chem b'nei Levi. You're asking for too much. Understand? This isn't going to come out well for you. Want to argue with me? Fine. How badly do you believe you are right? Vayomer Moshe Korach, Shimu na b'nei Levi. See, he changes his tone. Shimu na. Please listen. Hama'ak mikem ki yivdil Hashem Elokei Yisrael etchem me'adat Yisrael lakiv etchem elav. It's not enough that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought you close to bring that, to do the hakrava, to do the avoda. La'avod et avoda mishkan Hashem v'la'amod b'fnei ha'idal v'shartan. This is a family saying. It's not enough that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought you close in order to do the avoda. Pasuk Yud, Vayakrev Otcha Be'et Cholachecha B'nei Levi Itach. He brought you and all the rest of Levim. Uvikashtem Gam Kehuna. And now you want Kehuna also? You want to be the Kohanim? Lachen Atav Yochol Adashcha No Adim Al Hashem. V'Aharon Mahu Kishalinu Alav. Therefore, you and your entire assembly that are joining together are against Hashem. And as for Aaron, what is he that you protest against him? Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu says, you think you're fighting with me. But you're not really fighting with me. Who are you fighting with? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Fighting with God. This is unbelievable. Vayishlach Moshe likro ledasan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav v'yamru lo na'ale. So he calls Dasan and Aviram and they refuse. This refusal is earth-shattering. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu is the head, is the representative of God, when Moshe called you, you listen. I think it's not a stretch to suggest that this is the first time since Yetzias Mitzrayim that somebody said no to Moshe. And what's the point of them saying no to Moshe, especially so publicly? They're the first ones to say, you know what? We don't have to follow you. We don't have to follow you when you call us. We don't have to follow you when you tell us to do mitzvahs. And we also don't have to follow you when you tell us to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we're certainly not going to follow you when you tell us to die in the desert. How do I know all these things? Look what they say. Lo na'aleh. No. Chasad Yud Gimel. Hama'at. It's not enough. Ki ha'elitanu mi'eretz zavash chalav uduvash lahamikenu ba'midar. Chasad Yud Gimel. It's not enough. You took us out of a land of milk and honey to kill us in the desert. What's the land of milk and honey they're talking about? Oh, what a chutzpah.
Yeah.
Why is it a chutzpah?
It was slaves.
No, that's not why it's a chutzpah. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, the land of milk and honey. So they're stuffing him, you know Mr. Stuff? They're stuffing him and saying, not, they don't even have to say it, they're saying, your land that you said was milk and honey, you took us out of a land of milk and honey. It's unbelievable chutzpah. You're going to, if you seek to dominate us, you're going to dominate us further, or you have to call me, you have to summon me, forget it. So that's personal. It's about national, and it's also religious. How do I want to say religious? Let's look at Rashi. Verse here, Ms. Rashi. So back to the first page, 820. Okay. See where it says the top of the second column? The Rashi at the top of the second column. Rashi at the top of the second column. We actually did this in my other class. Some of the women began to bring their own chumashim. If they had trouble with this chumash, I do a lot of Rashi. I mean, by now you know I do a tremendous amount of Rashi. So people began to bring their own chumash with Rashi, with the English. It made it easier for some of them. So, you know, it's a good idea if you have a chumash and Rashi with English at home. Okay, so it's an idea, it's a thought. Ma'asa. See where it's at? Rashi says Ma'asa, the very top of the second column.
Yeah, the first line.
Amar v'kanas masayim v'chamishim rashei sanhedraos. 250 of the court leaders, the heads, the Beis Din. They had a Beis Din in the Midbar, in the desert. He took all the heads of the Beis Din. Ruben mishevet Ruben shechena. Most of them from Ruben. Behem Elitzur ben Shteur v'chayvei Rav v'kiyotzebo. These guys. Shneamar nishiyei edak kriyei moed. Right, people, there are princes, and there were people in the moed of the heads. Ulahalan omer ela ku ehaida, the middle of the third line. Yehobishan talitot shekulan techeles. And he dressed them all in a talis that was dyed totally blue. Bo v'amdu lifnei Moshe. So then they came wearing these talishim and stood before Moshe with these blue things. Amu lo, talis shekula shel tcheles chayeves b'tzitzis o p'tura. Yeah? What did Moshe say?
Moshe said yes.
Sure, I'm chayeves. He tchilu l'shachek alav. They laughed at him. Efshar talis shel minacher, chut echad shel tcheles p'tura. A normal talis, it is white. You need one single string. Zuz shekula tcheles lo tivtar as atzma.
The blue.
What's going on in this Rashi? Did this story really happen? Did Korach really stand these guys up with the talis of Tcheles?
Maybe. Probably didn't happen. It's probably just a muscle to show how far they would go.
In what way?
To test Moshe.
See, but that's not a test of Moshe.
Well,
is it a test of Moshe?
By asking him a question like that,
yeah.
I don't know his answer, and that. Well, it shows that he's agreeing with them or not agreeing with them. Because they definitely didn't agree with Moshe.
Now, are they testing Moshe? They're asking the Shaila. Ask him a Shaila.
Maybe they're testing Hashem.
It's not Moshe they're testing. They knew what Moshe was going to say. Of course they're Chayim and Sitchis. So let's do them Sitchis. Who are they really, what are they really testing?
Just Hashem.
They're not testing Hashem. They're using their logic to say, you know what, this religion, forget it. Because you can't, if you're going to reject Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to reject the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
If Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being, and he's fallible, and you can take things or leave things, he says we're going to Eretz Yisrael, he says we're going to die in the desert, and we say no we're not. Then, he says to this, you have to say, no, we don't. And he says, keep Shabbos?
No,
and you say, no, I won't.
No,
right? And before you know it,
it's
your children are marrying non-Jews.
But what about the talasim that we had last Shabbos in all Shul?
Yeah.
Did you ever see talasim? Squares on them?
Oh, the ones
or
that are red and blue and
people
white.
People want to be different.
Just because it does or does not appeal to your sense of fashion doesn't make it kosher or non-kosher. A talis is kosher if it's the proper size and has kosher tzitzis. You can put whatever you want on it. You want to make a talis out of that tablecloth? Be my guest. What? Just because they don't fit our sense of style or what's accepted or customary doesn't make it more or less kosher. What's the black stripe? I want to get a blue stripe one. I like the blue. Blue is nice. Blue? Would you accept blue? How would you feel if the rabbi got a blue one?
I have nothing against it. I'm just asking, is this permissible?
Absolutely permissible. One of the kids had a cool one, but it was not. The kid, you notice, had a red one, totally red. So then there's a din. You're supposed to have the tzitzis and the talis are supposed to be the same color. So somebody should have told him, if your talis is red, your tzitzis should also be red.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But there's no issue. Sure, you can have whatever color you want. Be my guest. Really, it should be treyless, it should be blue. But aside from that, have a green. You know what I'm saying?
Green one.
What?
I thought he had a green talus. I remember seeing it.
You like a white one?
Oh, it was.
The Sfardim, they wear the white on white. The Sfardim, especially Yom Kippur, they have the white on white. Very nice. But that's just what you're used to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to look at difference in halacha and politics. You know, I get upset when people come in with the scarf, right? Because that's not a tzitzis, that's not a talis. A talis is, you have to be tzitzis in front and tzitzis in back. When people come in, they have the shawl.
Yeah, it's like a conservative form.
No, so now they're getting, it's not true. They're getting into you know, more real talisim. I think that this should be commended. You know, it might not be our cup of tea, but if you fulfill the mitzvah, you're zunt hey, that's what I say. And I don't really, you know, I don't really care what color it is. To each their own. That's right. As long as they're doing the mitzvah in the proper way. That's the only thing I look at. That, you know, we could talk about that. That's another discussion entirely.
Okay.
Yeah. What? She's starting up with me. Yeah, I know.
No!
What?
If you would only know, I'm not here.
I'm kidding. This is Roberg. It's okay.
Watch over you, what you say or what you don't.
No. I knew it was bothering you. It's okay. I didn't think that. Okay.
Especially not the day before you leave. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I will also, I mean, sometimes I feel like certain talishim are trying to make a statement. They're trying to be provocative, I would say. You know, very often you'll see talisim that are made specifically for women. I don't know if you've ever seen a talis like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Now again, it's not usher for a woman to wear a talis. It's not. It's a misinterpretation. As man grandma, it's not usher. All right, maybe there's a yura, there's a little pride. All right, halavai that the worst thing someone in a conservative show should do is to wear a talis.
How does it differ from a man?
Oh, it's pink.
It's pink. It's lace.
It's lace. Yeah, but it's still a kosher talis.
Are the
sisters tri-tribal? Oh, I'm sure they are.
That's the
ones you were selling?
Yeah.
Okay, so then
you're right. I have seen
that.
So very often, yeah, it's so interesting. I remember I was in a bookstore. I was in Boston. We were coming back from a conference. And in Boston, we always, at the end of the conference, we always stop at the bookstore because, you know, that's what we do. Exactly. I don't have enough smartphone. So there was this woman there who was trying on for a bar mitzvah. And they spent, for talishim, $500-$700 on a talis. The most important thing, though, you should know is that the yarmulke and the talis and the bag all match.
Yeah, they have to match.
Right. And I'm saying to myself, you know, instead of getting this one, why not get that one? Meaning the one that's the sheer. I don't care what it looks like. Just get the one that's, you know, the kosher one. But it doesn't mean anything. It's all.
It's got to match the dress.
Yeah, it's all the costume. Right. And that bothers me.
What makes it kosher and what's not?
What makes it kosher is it's a minimum size and the tzitzis are made kosher.
Oh, the size too.
Yeah. You know, but most of them are made the minimum size.
Are made kosher?
Yeah.
Just like the...
No, they have to put it in front of the strings have to be put on properly. Yeah. But they all are. I'm sure they all are. Yeah. You have to know how to do it. You have to do it the same mitzvah tzitzis also. You have to do it the right way.
Sometimes there's silk.
You can make whatever you want.
Oh, the tzitzis could be silk?
Nowadays, the strings are not silk. I don't think they make silk strings. The tzitzis themselves are not silk.
Some of these fancy ones, the ones that I don't know. To me, they look like scarves with just tzitzis.
Yeah, I don't know. But all I'm saying is, and that's an interesting thing that the Korach said. What did Korach say? His attitude was, as long as I feel like I'm doing the mitzvah. No, that's not that it's good enough. It must be the correct way. There is no din. Oh, yeah, that's it. You have to have tcheles. It makes sense to me. Why should I have any more tcheles? And that's a slippery slope. Because once you go down that slope, you pick one, there's no way to stop. There's no way to say, at this point, I agree with that mitzvah, but then there's a yarg val yavar that I won't go beyond. Either you believe in the Torah, and you believe in the mitzvahs, and you believe in the mitzvah, or you question one thing, which means you have to question everything. Because either you believe in the system or you don't. And that's exactly what Korach was saying. I think that's what this Rashi is trying to convey. Korach challenged Moshe on a personal level. He challenged Moshe on a national level. Where is our Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash? And he also challenges Moshe on a religious level. You know why? Because they all go together. You cannot separate them. Right? We say in Yigdal, one of the Yigdal Mekarim of the Rambam, one of the 13 principles of faith that's outlined by the Rambam is Lo kam bi Yisrael, kamosha od, navi u mabit, temunatel, talat emet natan. Those are two things. They're the same. That Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a Torah emet, a true Torah. And as soon as you start to say, well, Moshe, then there's nowhere to stop. And as we see today, I don't care how traditional you are, as soon as you say, there are mitzvahs that I'm not accepting as true, that I can question, that sets you down in a path that it's almost irreversible. Because there's nothing that isn't sacred, and there's nothing your children won't say, well, you did this, why shouldn't I do that? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between saying that and saying, you know what? I'm not on the level that I'm ready to do that mitzvah. But I believe in all the mitzvahs. Those are two very different things, very different attitudes. Right? Both people are doing the same behavior, are behaving in the same way. But one is saying, I'm doing it out of, you know, like we call it, mumer l'tayavon. I'm doing it because I can't control myself. And the other person is saying, no, I'm doing it because I refuse to believe. If you think about it historically, actually, it's very interesting. Those are that was a huge split between, in general, European Jewry and Sephardic Jewry. Because right? In Sephardic Jewry, you very often find, look at the Sephardic synagogue today. Right? Where is the Sephardic conservative shul of Detroit? Where is the Sephardic reform shul of Detroit?
It's just a Sephardic shul.
You don't have one. Oh, they have one Sephardic shul, interestingly enough. And what percentage of those people in the Sephardic shul are Shomer Shabbos?
There are a few.
Very few. A small percentage. Oh, what are all these people who are driving to shul, driving to the Orthodox shul for? Because by the Sephardim, they don't say, I don't believe. They say, no, Rabbi, what can I do? I can't do that. But they believe that the Torah they're not keeping is the Torah Temet. And that's Amarla. As opposed to what do we do as Europeans? Well, if I don't want to do it, it must not be true. So what do? We create our own religions in order to justify our behavior. And before you know it, your children aren't Jewish. And then you wonder why. Good. You shouldn't. I hope not. If you did, you'd be in the wrong sphere. And what happens to Korah?
He got his suit,
but his children did not. His children rejected him.
Yeah.
Interesting. He got lucky.
The last minute
to save himself. Okay, let's talk for a second. I was going to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu leadership. Skip to the second page, the page two of the sources I gave you. They sent to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Which line are you on?
Actually, let's go back in the Chumash for 1 second. I'm in the second. Go back in the Chumash. Page 822. I'm sorry, 824. They say, Dasa Naviram, they have the ultimate of chutzpah to Moshe Rabbeinu. They say, not only is it not enough that you brought us out of a land of milk and honey and you didn't bring us anywhere, you're also going to rule over us? It's not, you want to dominate us too? You want us to make a beck and call? What does Moshe do? This is uncharacteristic of Moshe, very uncharacteristic. Pasuk Teshuvah. Vayichar leMoshe me'od. What does our scripture translate? What does it really mean? Correct. So Rashi, probably the Midrash obviously says, but the Rashi, Vayichar leMoshe me'od, Nitzta'er ad me'od. Why? Why does Rashi say that? Anyone? Correct. Because Rashi says it's very hard for Rashi to comment on how the Moshe gets very angry. It's unusual for Moshe to get very angry. I just want to see if the Midrash can say anything. Tezayin, what is it? Tezayin. Yeah, the Midrash says Nitzta'er. Okay. So Moshe says, Vayomer, El Hashem, Statistica. Very unusual for most of them. Al Tefen El Minchasam. Do not turn to their gift offering. Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasasi. Velo Harios Yes Echad Mehem. I never took a donkey from them. And I never did anything to harm them. Where is that coming from? Does that seem like out of left field? What in the world is Moshe doing? What's he saying? Of course he is. So I'm asking you, why?
He's obviously repeating something that was complained to by him, something that was sinful to that he did.
So obviously, we're not getting the whole picture. The Torah is not repeating everything they said about him. Mino Dachan over here and said, well, you want to rule over us? What else did they say? Look at your sheets. This is a Midrash Shmuel. We're learning Shmuel on Shabbos. I must say, I'm enjoying it very much. It's so interesting, the Navi. You know, people never change. So it's so fascinating. It says, Anu bi neged Hashem. They complained about me before God. We're going to get to this already. As shor mi lakachti ves mi ashakti. Did I steal anything from anyone? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. Says Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. Kasha hu ha gazel. Theft is very difficult. Sheshnei gedoli olam hitzuchu lihis vakeach alav. For the two great leaders of the generation, they had to defend themselves against it. Moshe and Shmuel. Moshe and Shmuel had to defend themselves against allegation of bribery and theft. Moshe had to say, I didn't steal anything. Rabbi Chanina bar Shema, Rabbi Yoshi desichnin, b'shem Rabbi Levi, they said, Who in their right mind would think that Moshe Rabbeinu is a ganav? When they would go from place to place, lo amati le'echad mehem. I never said to anybody, you know what, I'll take this. Tells the Al Chamecha, but you hold on to this for me. I slipped my own stuff. Because I wouldn't want somebody to think that I'm asking them to take something for me. Kamada At Amar, as he says, Vayikach Moshe Ves Ishto Ves Banav, he took himself. Amar Rabbi Yudan, Gedol Hador, Gedol Hador. When he does the needs of the community, shouldn't the community pay for his gas money? Shouldn't they pay for his donkey? But here it says, Moshe paid for himself. One gets the sense from this midrash and some other midrashim that they did accuse Moshe of stealing. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to respond. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not enough that you rule over us and you want to knock our eyes out. You know, we never really did get an accounting from the Mishkan. And how did you get so wealthy? And who is supporting you now? It makes you wonder, Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine such a thing? And what does it tell you?
It's very hard.
It tells you, you know, it's interesting. Let's take the Rashi away for a second, that Vayichar doesn't mean Nitzta'er, who was very upset, that he was angry. What does it take to get the most humble person that ever lived angry?
Somebody
accused you of everything you're not.
He's
carrot. What?
He's carrot.
So why would they accuse him? What?
That's the best way to get
him. Like I said in the beginning, when you start to attack somebody in a personal way, what does it show you?
Your own humble, your own feelings,
your own insecurities.
they were jealous of Moshe. They thought that maybe he did all these things. So they
did they think he did these things?
They accused him. They wanted to accuse him. But
it's an amazing thing, allegations. Allegations are an unbelievable thing. And we see this all the time in America today. If you can level an allegation at a person, and after they literally spend thousands and thousands of dollars to clear their name, what do they have left?
They don't have their name.
Nothing. They lost their name. There's nothing.
They don't have
nothing.
People still think it's somebody who's
right. Why? Because the allegation itself is an indictment.
Why would they accuse him if they don't have
something wrong?
There must be something to it.
Clinton came out okay?
Oh, please.
He served again 60 minutes that day.
Oh, yes? Because of his book.
Guess what? He decided he...
Clinton will forever be remembered as the president of you-know-what, because of you-know-why, and there's nothing he can do about it ever.
Yeah, he's got a long president.
There is nothing he can do about it. Can you imagine?
He never erased him.
He was 8 years president, and he presided over the longest economic boom in American history, and he will only in history be remembered for his mistakes. That's right. Well, and this is not actually fair because he deserves it. Because he couldn't control himself. But
he wouldn't be the first one.
That's right. Allegations. Allegations are unbelievable. I was listening to, I think, this album, and he said that in England you're not allowed to level allegations against somebody until it's brought up in court. In England, you're not allowed to level allegations at someone until it's proven in court. You can't publish it. And if you do, you can be sued for libel. Until it's proven in court. If it's proven in court, then it's
Muslim. Yeah, that in Israel too, because they're based on the British law.
Right, correct. Some of it's based on British law. So, I mean, allegations are unbelievably powerful. So here Moshe Rabbeinu, he prides himself. He says, "Look, I never, not only did I ever not take something from someone, I wouldn't allow anybody to help me. Here I am, I'm like 80 years old, 83 years old. I'm schlepping my own donkey so that no one should ever say that I did something inappropriate. And what do they accuse me of? Being a donkey. What are you going to do? But that's the way it is. That's what it is.
Still is today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
That's the way it is. That's what leadership is all about. You put yourself in the spotlight, you're going to shoot you down. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. America is unique in such a way. America loves to build people up. Loves it. We love to build people up, and then we love shooting them down.
So you're sorry that
there's most of us recovered from this, but there's nobody who believes in the long run that this is all true, is
it? No. No. So what was this thing all about? Go to the first page. This is Rabbeinu Bachaya. You know, obviously you don't have time to do the whole thing. See where it says the first set of paragraphs? The bottom of the first paragraph, it says the Hasiba. It's in the middle. It's the bottom of the first column. The last line of the first column, the Hasiba.
Not in the very bottom,
in the middle. The last line in the middle. You see it, Ms. Weber? Go up to the last line of the first column in the middle. You see it? I took these from two pages. See the first block? See here? Right here, the Hasiba.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Everybody have it?
Yeah, got it.
Who said no? Okay. Somebody help her out?
Esther is on the first column, on the right.
First column.
On the
right.
That's
the left.
That's the last line. Last line there. Vashiba. You have it? Vashiba?
You're the last line. What a slogan.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Vashiba, the Korach, the Machloket has their Shnei Dvarim. Let me finish. The Hasiba le Korach, the Machloket has their Shnei Dvarim. Two things. האחת, שהתלבש במידת הקנאה. He dressed himself in the attribute of jealousy. והיא מידה רעה ומכה שאין לה רפואה. It is an evil trait that has no healing. והשנית, שתה בשלשלת העתידה לצאת ממנו. And the second thing is she made a mistake about the future. We're not going to talk about that.
What?
The future. He predicted the future. He saw in the future that Shmuel would come out of his lineage. So he said, oh, I must be right. I must be the one. Mm-hmm. Little did he know that he wasn't going to make it and his sons would survive. Midat Akina, third line in that second column. Hushi Yadua, it's well known. Ki kasher yikanei ha'adam b'mishi hisig osher. Unechasim Yosif da'aga al da'aga at siyashi kamo. If I'm jealous that Mrs. Roberg gets to go to Israel and I don't, I'm going to worry about it and worry about it and worry about it until I get to go to Israel like she does. That's not a bad kinna, to be honest with you. That's not a kinna. Ve'ir hishig yagia mize el ahavat ha'kavod u'bakasat minei ha'memshala b'kinyanei ha'olam hazeh. And if I accomplish and I achieve, then I'm going to want the cover that goes along with that. Ve'ahavat ha'kavod yale al sarara. And once I have the cover, if I have the cover, then of course I should be leading. Why would the srara, why would the control lead me to avodah zara?
Because you don't need God. You don't need
God. Because if, who am I worshipping?
Yourself.
If it's all about me, then it's all about me. And if I don't get it, you call Yamad Machovim Bachayeh Hatsar Yichya Vesov Shiyamis Es Asmo Es Achaveira. If I don't get what I want, because that guy has it, it's going to eat me up alive until it kills me. It'll either kill me or it'll kill him. Es Asmo. There's a whole essay about kin, about jealousy. Himself, Shekina Mar Shlomo, Urekav Atzamos Kina. The rot of bones is jealousy. V'chein armar Eliphaz. Eliphaz says, "Ukotet tamid kima." Kina is a desirous killer. Mishemafateh achar midat akina kimitenu. Someone who is seduced by jealousy, it will kill him. V'chein darshu Chazal said, "The rabbis, hakina v'hatava v'hakavod mochiin et haadam men haolam." Kina taiva and kavod, they remove you from the world. Right. Why? As chaveira, how's it going to kill your friend? Sorry, mitocha kina, because I'm jealous of him. Yavo vide shina, I'm going to hate him. Omin hashina vide vitzicha, I'm going to kill him. Who did that? Who was jealous and killed?
Cain.
Very good. Cain. Yeah. I mean, it's just standard stuff. You know, nowadays it's a little bit more subtle. So if I'm jealous of my friend, I'll undercut him in his business in order to ensure that he falls flat on his face. So either he'll fall flat on his face,
or
I'll fall flat on my face. But neither of us, if I had left it alone, we would have prospered. But I have to overtake him. I have to do more. I have to be the highest grossing business. I have to be the most successful shul. I have to be the one with only, you know, with the most members, with all the shiurim. Doesn't matter what it is. You can have two nice children in a bad way too. And had this ability to remove us. So what does Korach do? Now Korach was a big man. He's Korach when you talk about your husband, maybe. So in order to get what he wants, A, he's willing to risk himself. Plus he's willing to cut down Moshe Rabbeinu. So innuendo. Listen, I'm going to read you a midrash. It's going to blow your mind. Says the midrash, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Melamed shechastuhu me'eshes ish. The Gemara teaches us that they suspected Moshe of infidelity. Of infidelity.
Miriam persisted.
Yes, of Miriam.
You know, is there nothing sacred?
I guess not.
Why? Because he has what I want. And if I need to get something, I'll do whatever I need to do to get what I want. And that's it. And so I think that's why, you know, this idea of kina, you know, none of us is
kina.
Yeah, you got it. There you got it. You know, none of us, okay, none of us, thank God, are at the level of Torah. But that, you know, that jealousy, it's a tough one.
You know what I am from this year? I'm not
going to
be a leader because everybody will be jealous of me.
There you go. I got to tell you, that's a danger also. Nobody wants to take responsibility because there are a lot of dangers. People attack you. It's hard. It's not an easy thing.
It's hard to take responsibility as long as you're not the one in charge.
So everybody should realize, be aware of your tina, control it, and if you're really having difficulty with it, I'll take it instead. Okay.